We've all learned Chumash, maybe even thought we understood. But now, with his trademark depth and clarity, and his signature up-tempo Daf Yomi style, Reb Srili Bornstein uncovers the layers beneath the words, revealing a world of meaning, relevance, and beauty in every line. Where the Derech HaLimud of the Beis Medrash meets Pashat Pshat, discover the shir that's redefining how people learn Chumash. Reb Srili Bornstein's Chumash Shir. Find it on the Lakewood Daf Yomi app, or wherever this shir is being heard.
Today's daf is Vachim Daf Kuf Tezayin, and we will begin about 20 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Tezayin Amid Aleph, the two dots. So the Gemara is discussing the halachis of bombas. So the Gemara brought a brisa that said that back in the day when kabbonis were brought on bombas before Matan Torah, it was tahorim avalei tumei. So even though these kabbonis were not being brought in the Beis Hamikdash, but at the same time they had to conform to certain guidelines. There was a shulchan aruch of how a carbon was brought on a bama. One of the halachas was that only a carbon that was tahar, only a behema tahara was allowed to be brought on a bama, but a behema tmeya was not. A pashup shad is a behema tahara is a kosher animal. A behema tmeya is a non-kosher animal. Frank the Gemara, the obvious question. Yeah, the tmeya mutahir bahi shaita. We're discussing the shas heter bamas, which is before matan Torah, before the hakamas hamishkan. At that point, there was no such thing as tahir tmeya. There was no such thing as kosher and non-kosher. The whole idea of kosher is a novelty that came about. That's the girsa of the Marsha. At that point, technically, there was no concept of kosher and non-kosher. But there were those in the know, and there were people that were aware that one day there would be a concept of kosher and non-kosher. And the idea that you were only allowed to bring a behemoth tahira was what will one day be a kosher animal that you're allowed to bring on a bama, but what will one day be a non-kosher animal that you're not allowed to bring on a bama. Frank to Gemara, but Benahav Yadi, how did they know what was what? The Gemara Keter Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda says that when Noach was told to bring animals into the Teva, so he was told that from the non-kosher animals take two, and from the kosher animals take seven. And the same question, how did Noach know what was kosher and what was non-kosher? Said Rav Chizda, have you in the Noach took all the animals and he brought them to the Teva. And he told the animals to go in. Kosher Teva Kultasai, if the animal took more than two peers, it was obvious that it was tar. But if the Teva only took two, it didn't take more, it didn't take seven, so Noach knew. Had a Noach knew Haviron lefnei Ateva. So there was a Messiah. What would one day be a kosher animal, and what would one day be a non-kosher animal? Rav Avoh Amar Meha. He said a little bit differently. Amar Kol. The pasuk says V'habayim Zachar Unikeva. Habayim Meileim. Noach didn't take all the animals, bring them to the Teva, and then the Teva, like the Urim V'Tumim, would somehow tell the animals, you to the right, you to the left, right? Exactly, who's going to survive, who's not going to survive. It can know what's a kosher animal, what's not a kosher animal. Rabbi Vo said the whole thing happened al pimes. The animals got up by themselves. They went to the Teva. Some went two, some went seven, if it was a kosher animal. But the point is that there was already a revelation of some sorts of what was kosher, what was non-kosher. Thus, it was possible to have a halacha that on a bama, even before Matan Torah, tahoyrim avaloi tmeim. What does tahoyrim mean, kosher? What does tmeim mean, non-kosher? You're only allowed to bring a kosher animal on a bama. How did they know? It's related to the story of Noach and the Teva. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, V'akol Karvu Oilos. All Karbanois that were brought on Bamois, again, this is before Matan Torah, were Oilos. Says the Gemara, Oilos in Shlavim Lai. It seems pretty clear that only an Oilos, as opposed to even a Karban Shlavim. Faith, how is that possible? But the Pasuk says, V'yizbechu Zvachim Shlavim Lashem. Part, the context over there is Matan Torah. And by Matan Torah, the Yidin, in addition to everything else that went on, brought Karbanois. And the Pasuk says they brought karbonos shlomim. Now those karbonos that the Yidden brought b'shas Matan Torah, even though it was after Matan Torah, it was on a bomb. Because the Mishkan wasn't going to be built until after the Chetei Egel. That happened a little while later. Yom HaKamas HaMishkan was Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the following year. So at that point, these karbanos are being brought on a bama, and they're bringing a carbon shlomim. So how can you tell me on a bama you only that I bring a carbon oil? They can't bring a carbon shlomim. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Vayizbechu zvachim shlomim l'Hashem parim. And clearly we're talking about bamas because it's before the Mishkan, says the Gemara. Eloheimu, you have to say as follows. Hakol karvu oilois vishlomim. The animals were allowed to be either oilos or shlomim. Frank the Gemara about Tanya, there's a mafurish of brisa that says, Avul shlomim loy kiem oilos. Meaning, the brisa that says, I call karvu oilos, you can add a word. Oilos vishlomim. Thus, you have no kasha from the fact that the Yidden brought on bamos b'shas Matan Torah karbanos shlomim. The problem is another brisa. That brisa says, oilos avul loy shlomim. If it says Havel Loy Shlomim, then there's no way to edit this Braisa. You can't say and Shlomim. The Braisa says Mefurish Havel Loy Shlomim. Oy Loy Zin Shlomim Loy. The Gemara says Command Amal Loy Karvu Shlomim Bnei Noach. You have to say the Mersoyes are a little Meshulash here. But Pashim Shat, what the Gemara is saying is, you have to say there's a chilik between a Yid that brought a carbon on a bama and a benayach that brought a carbon on a bama. When we say actually hukam mishkan, when the carbonas were being brought on bamas, it was oilay sen avashlamim loy. That's referring to bnei noyach. But enachanami, a yid that brought a carbon on a bama, such as the yid in b'shas matan Torah who brought carbonas, and the pasuk says clearly vayizbechu zvachim shlamim Hashem, they could bring even a shlam. So what carbonas were brought on a bama? It depends. Are you Jewish or are you not Jewish? If you're a yid, it's oilays ushlamim. When we say oilos in avul shlomim loy, that's referring to bnei noyach. Says the Gemara de itmar, but the truth is that whether or not bnei noyach were allowed to bring karbonos shlomim, which we're saying now they cannot, is really the subject of a machlokes tanam. Rav Elazar bar Yisrael Chanan one says karbu shlomim bnei noyach. That bnei noyach were allowed to bring karbonos shlomim. Chadam aloy karbu. One said no. My time demand am a karbu. What's pshat? What's the makarta demand am that says that a ben noyach was allowed to bring shlomim? It's presumably related to a makarant in the Torah somewhere. What exactly is the makar? The pasuk says right in the beginning of Bereshis, the hevel hevi gamhu mi bechoyrois tzoynoi umi chel veyem. So kind brought a carbon, Hevel brought a carbon, Hashem accepted the carbon of Hevel, he didn't accept the carbon of Cain. Cain was jealous, Cain kills Hevel, Ayeka, Hashem Yerachad Anoichi, the rest is history. We'll see a little bit of raid about that in a few minutes. But for now, the Pasuk says that Hevel brought a carbon. What was the carbon that he brought? It was mi bechayreis tzaynai, it was a bechar, it was from the best, the choicest of his sheep, umeichel veyim, and of the fats. Says the Gemara Geshmak, is that udavar shechel by karv legami mizbeach? Vein kulei karv legami mizbeach. Have I mizeh shlam? It can't be that it was a carbon oila, because we're learning Masech Tzvachim now. We're 115 blot in, and we know that an oila was kulei kol, which means all the basar of the oila was burnt on the mizbeach. So if Ben Noach was allowed to bring either an oila or a shlamim, so which carbon was Hevel's carbon? Was it an oila? Or was it a shlomim? It had to be a shlomim. It couldn't have been an oila. Because it says Michal Veya. If it was an oila, he wouldn't have just been makriv the chalev. He would have been makriv the entire animal. Thus, says the Gemara, it must be that it was a carbon shlom. So the mandam that says that even a ben noyach is allowed to bring a carbon shlomim, the ray is from Hevel. Hevel brought a carbon. It says clearly that what was he makriv chel veya? Couldn't have been an oila. Because if it was an oila, he would have been makriv the entire oila. And Hevel was definitely a ben noyach. Even the Mishlam Melech in Prashas Drach and Drush Aleph that discussed was whether the others were Yisraelim or Bnei Noach. I don't think he ever declared a shiloh where that Hevel was a Bnei Noach. Hevel was a Bnei Noach. And still you see that he brought a carbon shlom, and thus this is the source that a mandama that says that a Bnei Noach can bring not only an oil, even a carbon shlom. My time in the mandama, like carbon, what's the mandama that says that a Bnei Noach can only bring a carbon oil, he can't bring a carbon shlom. The chesiv, it's also learned out from a pasik in Shir Hashirim. It says, Uri tzafoin uva useimon. So what does that pasik mean? It says, Digmar tisnaher uma shemaseo betzafin. Let the uma whose carbonites are brought betzafin move. V'tavay uma shemaseo betzafin v'darim. Let the uma that brings carbonites in tzafin and darim enter. Who's moving? The uma yisraelim are moving. Who's entering? The yidden. So the uma yisraelim in this pasik, this very cryptic pasuk in Shir Hashirim, I refer to as an umma shekol maseh, all their karbonos are betzafin. What does that mean? Because they could only bring a carbon oil, and an oil is betzafin. The Klal Yisrael is referred to as an umma shemaseh betzafin ubedarim. The reason is because they're not limited to a carbon oil; they could also bring a carbon shlamin. But the bottom line is that you see from here that a ben noyach is considered an umma shemaseh betzafin. That's the number that holds a bnei noyach when they brought karbonos on a bamba, they were only allowed to bring a carbon oil. Freak the Gemara, Umar Nami Oksiv Michalvein. The man the Omar that says that a Benoich is not allowed to bring a carbon shlomim, I by Hevel, it says he brought Michalvein. Doesn't it sound like it was a shlomim? Says the Gemara, no. You know what it means? Misham Nehem. Chaveim over there doesn't mean the fats, the chelev, the part of the carbon shlomim, the one on the Mizbeach. It means the choicest part. He took the best part of the animal, and that's what he was makir. But we don't mean chelev in the carbon shlomim sense. Umar Nami, the man the Omar that says that a Benoich could bring a carbon shlomim. I the pasuk oksiv uri tzafoin. Isn't uri tzafoin? Isn't the drush of that pasuk like the Gemara said? Let the nation shekol maseh betzafoin move away. So the Gemara says, "Not what it means." Ahu bekibutz galias with the chesiv. It's referring to kibutz galias with all the nations of the world, the nations from tzafoin, from daroin, all the yidden that are living everywhere, scattered around. they're all going to come together and they're going to come up to Eretz Yisrael b'shas kibbutz galus. Either way, it's not referring to an umma shemaseh b'tzav, and thus it has absolutely nothing to do with our shot. Afraid to gemara v'aksiv, but there's another pasuk. It says v'yemer Moshe gam atatidim biyodeinu zvachim va'oilos v'asim l'Hashem alikein. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu is having his give and take with Paro. He's telling Paro, let my people go. Paro says no. He says yeah. And then finally Moshe says, not only do I want you to let us go, but I want you to give us cattle. Gam atatidim biyodeinu zvachim va'oilos. So that we should be able to bring karbanos. Now he asked for zvachim and oilos. Again, 115 glad in. Zvachim usually means shlamim. See, you see clearly that what? That Moshe Rabbeinu was going to bring a carbon shlamim. I thought they're b'nei nayach. They're bringing these karbanos on bamos. See, you see, isn't this a mafurish or right? It's a pasuk in the Torah. How could it be a machlekes tanoim about something that's mafurish in a pasuk? So the Gemara says it's true. They wanted zvachim, but over here it was zvachim lachila va'olos la'krava. Zvachim in the context of kachin usually refers to as a shlamim, but over here it didn't mean in the lahedyet. Let's have zvachim lachila so that we can enjoy our food. Olos, which are kulay kalo, that's going to be 100% lahakrava. Freight the Gemara, not the cash. Fuck, say, but doesn't the pasuk say that Yikach Yisroi Chosin Moshe Oyla Uzvachim? Isn't there a pasuk that says that Yisroi took Oyla Uzvachim? Oyla again is an Oyla Uzvachim, presumably as a Shlomim. So, the Gemara, it's true. Yisroi bore a carbon Shlomim, but Ahulach Matan Taira, but this happened already after Matan Taira. This isn't Yisroi the Benoyach before Matan Taira. This is all happening after Matan Taira. But the Gemara says, is that all Pashit? Did Yisrael come before after Matan Torah? Honey, Yichel Mandam Yisrael after Matan Torah. Hi, El Mandam Yisrael after Matan Torah. Hi, Man Yichel Meimar. Did we learn? B'nei Reb Chiyev Reb Yishuv Ben Leit. Chadam once said Yisrael came Matan Torah. Chadam Yisrael after Matan Torah. So it's a machloekes. So Enochinami, if Yisrael came after Matan Torah, this has nothing to do with our discussion. But if Yehuda Yisrael came before Matan Torah, it's a mafurish raya that even before Matan Torah, on Bamis, even B'nei Noach were able to bring not only Oyvos but even Shlomim. So the Gemara says you have no choice but to say Lamanda. My Yisrael came to Matan Torah. That according to my number that holds that Yisrael came before Matan Torah. He's going to hold that the Ben Noach was allowed to bring a carbon shlamin. Meaning the machlek is whether a Ben Noach can only bring an oil or he can even bring a shlamin is totally in the machlek is whether Yisrael came before Matan Torah or came after Matan Torah. At first glance, the two machlekes then have absolutely positively nothing to do with each other. One's a shayla. When did Yisrael come? What is a shayla? Could a ben noyach on a bama bring a shlamim? Or is he limited? Is he only allowed to bring a carbon oila? But says the Gemara, the truth is the two machloikesin have no choice but to be totally zevzeh because Yisrael brought shlamim. And if Yisrael came before Matan Torah, then you have a raya that a ben noyach is allowed to bring a carbon shlamim excel. So the truth is the Gemara is going to digress now. And the Gemara is going to discuss Yisrael. So we're going to go from a discussion of bnei noyach bringing karbanos on bamos, is it only oilos or is it oilos vishlamim? It has to do with Yisrael. Thus, the Gemara is going to have now a half amid Gemara, a classic Gemara with regards to Yisrael. But before we go weiter, so we didn't have that much of an opportunity to speak out divrei drush and divrei agadah throughout Masechta Zvachim. So at the end of Zvachim, tucked away, there's a little bit of agadah, and this is one Gemara right here. But the Gemara mentioned the story of Cain and Hevel. And essentially, the Gemara brought a machlekes had to understand the pasuk that describes Hevel's carbon. The pasuk says, "Vehevel gehevi gamhu mi bechayrois tzoynoi u'mechalveim." So we know that Hevel's carbon was tzoyn. It was a zevach. It was sheep. And then it says u'mechalveim. One man that says chalveim means he brought a carbon shlamim. And just like a shlamim, only the chalev is kariv. And that's the emphasis over here. Mi bechayrois tzoynoi u'mechalveim. What he was bringing was a carbon shlamim. Another man says, no, Mechaveya means he took the fattiest part of the carbon. If you look, take a look at Targum Unkelus, that's what Unkelus says. Afhu, he also brought a carbon, Hevel, mi bakire one, umisham inhoin. He took from the fat. He took from the fatty part of the carbon. That's exactly what he brought. It's interesting. Rashi says that it was precisely the fact that Hevel took Mechaveya, according to the second shot, he took the fatty part of the animal, that his carbon was answered. And Cain, however, when he brought his carbon, he didn't take the choicest part, and it's for that reason that Cain's carbon was not accepted. So again, we're familiar with these psukim, but it's kedai to say the psukim again. Pasuk says that Adam and Chava gave birth to two sons, Cain and Hevel. Vayimi ketziyamim, vayovi Cain mi priya adama minchal Hashem. Cain took mi priya adama, and he brought a minchal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vehevel hevi gam hu mi p'chayres sayim. Hevel did the same thing. Hevel also brought a carbon. His carbon was mi b'chayres sayin. It wasn't mi priya adama. but rather it was Mipchayra Sinai, Umechel Vehem, like we just saw, Vayisha Hashem El Hevel Ve'El Minchas, Hashem accepted the Mincha of Hevel, but the El Kayin El Minchas Eloisha, but Hashem did not accept the carbon of Mincha, he didn't accept the carbon of Kayin. Vayichar Le Kayin Ma'oi, Kayin was very disappointed, he was angry, Vayiplu Panav. Vayimah Hashem El Kayin, Hashem comes to Kayin, Lom Achar Alach, the end of the story is, Kayin ends up killing Hevel, Hashem comes to Kayin and he says, "I have a lochicha." Vayomer lo yodati. Hashem mir ochi anoichi. Vayomer meo sees a cold meo chicha tzayik in alayim in adamo. Kayin ends up getting it first. Either way, Kayin and Hevel both bring karbanos. Kayin's carbon was mipri adamo. Hevel's carbon was mipchayres sinai. Hevel's carbon was accepted. Kayin's wasn't. Kayin got jealous. He ends up killing Hevel. Very nice story. The problem is, what's missing is why did Hashem accept the carbon of Hevel, and why did Hashem not accept the carbon of Kain? Pashup Shan in the Pasuk, it's not clear. And the emphasis, you would think at first glance that it's probably related to the fact that Kain's was Mipri Adama, and Hevel's was Tzayin, and maybe Tzayin, a sheep, is more chashuv than fruit. Right? That's probably what Pashup Shan is. But the emphasis is that if you read the Pasuk beforehand, there seems to be a little insight as to why Kayin brought me Pri Adam and Hevel brought me Pri Yisrael. Pasuk says, "Vatoysev loledes es ochav es hod." Vayhi Hevel roye tzayin, v'Kayin hoya oved Adam. So what did Hevel do for a living? He was a roye tzayin. What did Kayin do for a living? He was an oved Adam. So Pashup Shad, Hevel was a roye tzayin. So what was he going to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu? His trumas of ma'isus was going to be tzayin. Kayin is an oved Adam. So when it came time for him to give a gift to Hashem, what's his trumas of ma'isus? It was going to be mipri Adam. So what did Kayin do wrong? This is what he does for a living. What do you want him to do? He should bring tzayin. He doesn't have tzayin. This is what he is. He's an oved Adam. So he took from what he does his hard earned money and he brought a carbon like Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hevel took mipchayrus. That's what he did for a living. He was a roye tzayin. That means Rashi asks the kasha, and Rashi says you have to say that just like the Torah says that when Hevel brought his carbon, he took mechel vehem, and like the Targum teaches, what does it mean? Umisham inhoin. He took from the best part of his son. He didn't just take tzayin. He took from the best part of his son. When Kayil took his carbon, says Rashi, mipri adama min hagorua. He took the worst peiros that he had. Yesha Kodesh Emer says Rashi, zera pishton hoy. It was pishton. That's what it was. See, he didn't take mechel vehem. Hevel took mechel vehem. It's for that reason that his carbon was accepted. Kayin did not take mechel vehem. It's for that reason that his carbon was not accepted. Now, it's interesting, Rabbeinu Bachya says on this pasuk right here that we just had a Gemara. The Gemara discussed Hevel's carbon. Was it a carbon shlomim or was it a carbon oiva? And it says, if you read the pasuk seems to have a third carbon. The pasuk says, Vayehi miketz yomim, vayovi kayim mipri adama mincha lashem. The Hevel hevi gam hu mebcheres soyvim michavei, vayish Hashem al Hevel, ve'el minchasoy. Ve'el kayim, ve'el minchasoy, three times in the Torah. So it sounds like it wasn't a shlomim. It was really a carbon mincha. Interesting. But either way, Rabbeinu Bachya says something interesting. He says that there's a medrash that says that Hevel and Kayin were 50 days old when this happened. So you want to know how long Hevel lived? He lived 50 days. 50 days he was on planet Earth, and then Kayin went ahead and killed him. Says Rabbeinu Bachya that he thinks there's a remez noira in this idea. It's not just rant, it's a fun fact that Hevel was 50. How old was Hevel? 50 days old. Okay, interesting. In a time where people lived 1,000 years, 50 days is not a lot of time. But he lived 50 days, right? That's what he lived. But it's interesting, says Rabbeinu Bachya, that I could be that this is the reason that every year when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Yidin on Shavuos, on Yom HaTzeres, they would bring a Shtei HaLechem. The Shtei HaLechem was a Karban Mincha. They would bring it 50 days after Pesach. Tisbru Chamishim Yoim. And then they would go, we count 49 days, and on the 50th day, which is Shavuos, we bring a Karban Mincha. You know why we bring a Karban Mincha on the 50th day? It's a remez to the Yoim Chamishim of Kain and Hevel's lives, where they too brought a carbon mincha. So connected the mincha of Kain and Hevel, we go ahead and we bring a carbon mincha. Then Rabbeinu Bachya says, Ray, that's above my pay grade, where he says that this was a schar for Hevel, that Hevel was rewarded. Hevel brings a carbon. Hashem accepted his carbon, and 5 seconds later, what was Hevel's matan schar b'tzidi? He was butchered. He was killed. Stating that, says Rabbeinu Bachya, got a reward. His reward was that Yidin would always bring a carbon mincha, a shtei alechem, on Shavuos, and the reason we do it is not to commemorate Kayin's mincha, it's more to commemorate Hevel's mincha. Either way, Ayin Shom Rabbeinu Bachya says Dvarim Neflam, but Hevel and Kayin were 50 days old, their carbon was referred to, even though our Gemara says Oilin Shlomim, but says the Gemara was really a mincha, that's what the Torah refers to it. It was a mincha, keneged that, Hisbru Chamishim Yoyim, and then we too, we bring a mincha Chadash Shel Hashem, that's what the Shtei Alechem is, it's essentially a carbon mincha. The Chasam Sofer, on this pasuk, where the pasuk talks about how Vayesha Hashem el hevel v'minchasoi ve'el minchasoi v'alkayim v'alminchasoi loisha. Says the Chassam Sofer, B'tchilas Torah Seinu Akdoisha. This is mamish, the beginning. This is literally the beginning of the Sefer Torah. Nasa manu makam lahiris darchav Hashem Yisbarach. Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a lesson on how this world works. Says the Chassam Sofer that the story of Cain and Hevel is a very, very valuable lesson. He says why? Because at first glance, it sounds like the good guy lost and the bad guy persevered. Hevel was the good guy. He brought the right carbon. Hashem accepted Hevel's carbon. Cain was willing to bring a carbon to Hashem, but he took Minagrua. He took Zerah Pishtan. What ends up happening? Hevel dies, doesn't make it past day 50, and Cain lived. He saw Dairis. That's what ended up happening to Cain. So at first glance, it sounds like that the bad person, the one that did the Aveira, the Rasha, was the one who was a Rasha of the Tavloi. And it was a Tzadik Virali. But says the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that the world got completely wiped out at the time of the Mabul. And who survived the Mabul? Noach. Noach wasn't a descendant of Hevel. Noach wasn't a descendant of Cain. Noach was a descendant of Adam Rishon's third son, his son Shes. So the emesis says, the Chassam Sofer, that even though at first glance it looked like Cain was going to be Zeichet to see Dairis Yesharim and Mavairach, he was having Nachas Ben Mazenikov. But the truth is that if you knew the whole picture, you would know that Cain wasn't going to see so much Nachas. Because Cain's Nachas was going to have an expiration date. It was going to go up until the Mabul. But then at the time of the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nichamti, I have Charata. He wipes out all of mankind. The only person he saves is Noach. And Noach is Shes. But what does this have to do with Hevel? Says the Chassam Sofer that Hevel was Nisgalgo in Shes. That Adam HaRishon was 130 years old when he gave birth to Hevel. And the Neshama, when he gave birth to Shes. And the Neshama of Shes was really the Neshama of Hevel. So that means that Hevel's neshama, which at first glance looked like got nothing, it ends up coming back. It's reincarnated. It's reincarnated in Shes. Noach comes from Shes. He doesn't come from Cain. So everything, the whole Hemshach ends up coming from Hevel. Doesn't look like from Cain. But says the Chassam Sofer, it's really even more than that. Because the truth is that this neshama that was originally Hevel's, then was Shes, would be reincarnated a third time. And the third reincarnation was Noach. And Noach himself is the one that rebuilt the Yishuv. And says the Chassam Sofer, the truth is, it was really going to be reincarnated a fourth time. And the fourth time was going to be Moshe. So this one neshama starts off at Hevel. It's Hevel. It's Shes. It's Noach. It's Moshe. The Chassam Sofer says it's Oisius neshama above our pay grade. It's Oisius neshama. But the bottom line is, at first glance, you read the story, it looks like Hevel, the good guy, gets butchered after 50 days. And Cain sees Dairi Tshoshayim and Mavarech. Emesis was just the opposite. Cain ends up losing everything. Hevel ends up getting the neshama of Shes, and he's Noach, and he's Moshe. So this neshama kedosh of Hevel ends up being an unbelievable contributor to Klal Yisrael, as opposed to Cain that comes and goes, and he's part of that Daira Mabul that was completely wiped off the face of the earth, that Hashem says he regretted he ever created. Either way, a little bit of the rest of the story. Just one other ha'ara, and that is, I saw the Ksav Sofer says something beautiful. The Pasuk says, the Hevel hevi gam hu mibchayr esayna. What's gam hu? Gam hu? He also, what's the word gam? No extra. Gam is right in the beginning of the Torah, you have an extra word here. Gam hu? What does gam hu mean? Says the Chassam Sofer that the truth is, you know, very often, the Ksav Sofer, says the Chassam Sofer, very often people give tzedakah. Really, they don't want to give tzedakah. They give tzedakah because of peer pressure. So they see that one person did, all right, I don't have a choice, I'll match you, or whatever it is. Right, so you have all these... But the point is that people give, not because they want to give, it's not necessarily coming in nidvas libam, but rather they're just copycats. They see what the other person does, and maybe it's social pressures, or whatever it might be, and the bottom is they end up doing the same thing. So the Torah says, first Cain brought a carbon, then Hevel brought a carbon. You could have had a Havamina, that Hevel whole carbon was just, listen, my brother did it, what am I going to, I'm not going to bring a carbon, what's it going to make me look like? So I better do the same thing. So that's what Torah is coming to emphasize. The Hevel Hevi Gamhu, that just like Cain brought a carbon, Hevel also brought a carbon. He wasn't copying Cain. No. He was bringing the carbon in the same exact vein that Cain was bringing the carbon, hashtag peer pressure. But either way, says the Gemara Vaitas. Again, we're discussing Bamois, Bnei Noach, Oilois, Shlomim, Mincha, Cain, Hevel, it's Leibedik. The Gemara from there digressed into Yisrael. Specifically, when exactly did Yisrael come? When did Yisrael arrive at the scene? Now, the truth is that if you open up a Chumash, it doesn't seem to be so ambiguous. It seems to be pretty clear. When did Yisrael arrive on the scene? It's right in the end, right after Parshas Beshalach, which is Lechemes Amalek, Kriyas Yamsuf, and then yeah, Vayishma Yisroi. So what's the Shaila? And the Frat, is a man number that says that Yisroi came after Matan Torah. I mean, the Parsha's Yisroi begins with the story of Yisroi, and then Matan Torah is for Shishi, I think, right? It's later in the Parsha. So how exactly could there even be a Shaila? Zok the Gemara Ketanoi, it's really Mechalik Ketanoim. Vayishma Yisroi Koyim Midyon, Mashmu Shama Ubov, in Eskaya, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shua says, Lechemes Amalek Shama. How does he know? He says, what do you mean? He was being Mavasedra. Sharik said, Betsidoi. It says, Vayechla, Yeshua, Samalek, Vasamal, Vichara. And right afterwards, it says Vayishma Yisroi. So the juxtaposition between the end of Parshas Beshalach and the beginning of Parshas Yisroi would seem very, very clear that that's when Yisroi came. Says the Gemara, plus my doyam, no Matan Torah Shama, but he really came after Matan Torah. And like the Ramban speaks out as Firush Al Torah, you have to say Ein Muktim Umeucher Bat Torah. Says the Gemara. And what's the rest of the story? Shekishenit the Torah Yisroi, because when the Torah was given to Klal Yisroi, Hayakoyli. The Koyel of Hakadosh Baruch Hu went misoifa oylem atsoifa. The Chol Malchei Oyvdei Kechavim Achzason Ro'ada Beichaleim. And when the Malchei Oyvdei Kechavim heard the Koyel of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, again these were the Koyelos of our Sinai, they got very, very scared. And what did they do? Va'amru Shira, they started singing to Hashem. They were spooked. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ubeichaloi Kuloi Oymer Kav Niskabzu Kulam Etz Bilam Arasha. And they all came and they gathered to Bilam Arasha. Amru Loibi, they told him, Ma Koyel Amayin Hashemano. What are these noises? This is scary. Shema Mabul Balayla? Billa, tell me, is this going to be a Mabul? Amalemi told him, no Mabul. Hashem la Mabul Yashav. In other words, Hashem swore raised never gonna be another Mabul. Can't be a Mabul. So they were chacham. They said, Mabul, maybe. It's really the Archaim HaKadosh's Kasha. When Hashem swore that he's not going to bring a Mabul, did he mean only a Mabul Shamayim? Or did he mean even a Mabul Shalish? So they came now with the other side of Narachayim Shailah. Maybe it's only Mabul Shamayim. Avo Mabul Shamayish, maybe. Shenemek Hine Be'esh Hashem Nishmat. This psukim in Tanakh that seemed to suggest that Hashem will judge the world with Esh. Maybe it's because he swore he won't bring a Mabul Shamayim, but a Mabul Shalish he will be. Among them, he told him, Kfar Nishba, Sheiri, Machkas, Kobas. No. Bilam said, Hashem swore he's never going to destroy mankind. They said, if so, Makoy Lamayna Zeshashamayim. So what are we hearing? Among them, he told, Chem de Tevil, Yesh, Levi, Vase, Knoz. It's been hiding. Etzloi tough kuf ayin dalu doyros kaidem shenivra olam for 974 years before Brios Olam. And the time has come to give it to his son. So it was 974 years before Brios Olam. This was 26 generations later, says Rashi. Together, it's elef dor. That this is the 1,000 generations from when the Torah was created, whatever that means, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually give the Torah. But either way, says Bilam, you want to know what these koilas are? Hashem is taking a chem de genusa, something that's been hidden for 974 generations, and he's finally giving it to man. He's giving it to Klal Yisrael. Shenem Hashem oiz liyamayite, and oiz over here means the Torah. Miyad, when they heard that pascha, kulam amru, they got up and they said, Hashem yivarech es amay bashalom. So these psukim that the Gemara brought are rather familiar, right? Usually when the Gemara brings psukim in the Gemara, we've never heard the psukim. But these psukim you're familiar with. Hashem lamabu yoshev, vayeshev Hashem melech liyoylam, Hashem oiz liyamayitein, Hashem yivarech es amay bashalom. As we say it in davening many times on Shabbos. And really, this is Tehillim Perek Chavtes. Until Perek Chavtes begins, Mizmor LeDavid, Havu LaShem Bnei Elim, Havu LaShem Kovid VaOiz. And then the pasuk says, Koy LaShem Alamayim, Koy LaShem B'Koyach, Koy LaShem B'Hodor, Koy LaShem Shoyver Arozim, Koy LaShem Chutzim LaAviseish, Koy LaShem Yochel Midbar, Yochel LaShem Midbar Kodesh, Koy LaShem Yecheilu LaYoles. So what were these koylos? Koy LaShem, Koy LaShem, Koy LaShem. Now you know the rest of the story. All these koylos was referring to the koylos of Maimon Har Sinai. But listen, now, how beautiful the pasuk reads in light of what the Gemara just said. So, koil. There were tremendous koilos going on b'shas Maimon Har Sinai. What happened? Ubei chaloi kulei emer kavli. The Malchei Ovdei Kechavim heard these koilos, and they were scared. And what did they do? They began to sing Shira. And they ran to Bilam, and they told Bilam the next words. Hashem la mabul yoshav bitmiya. Is that what's going on? Hashem is bringing another mabul. Bilam said no. Hashem swore he's going to be a melech loyal. They'll never destroy the world again. It's never going to happen. That a Mabul Shamayim and not a Mabul Shalish. So he said, if so, what's going on? So he told him, Hashem oiz lama yitein. Hashem is taking oiz ein oiz al Torah. When they heard that, they said, Hashem yivarech hasam v'asholim. They gave brachas to the Yidden. We got brachas from all the pagan kings. But the bottom line is, that is the rest. That's pshat in this pasuk. That's Tehillim Perek Chavtes. The koilos, koil Hashem, koil Hashem, koil Hashem. What is that referring to? The koilos of Hakadosh Baruch Hu in Tehillim Perek Haftes are referring to the koilos Maimon Har Sinai. Either way, a little bit more Gemara, and then we'll speak out a lot of more. Rate. Either way, it says the Gemara, a third sheetah. Rabbi Lazar says Kriyas Yamsuf Shamalba, that you want to know what Yisrael heard. It wasn't Mechamas Amalek. It wasn't Maimon Har Sinai. What it was Kriyas Yamsuf. Shenema Vayikishmoy Komalchi Amoyr. The pasuk says Yeshua Parakeh. It describes the reaction that the Malchei HaMoiri had when they heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. So you see that the world was very afraid of Kriyas Yamsuf. Yisrael was included. Yisrael heard it, and he did something about it. Yisrael didn't just hear, they heard it, and that's why he ran, and he was Dafkin that was Megayer. Says the Gemara, Rachav HaZoyner Amar L'Shluchim Yeshua. Rachav HaZoyner said the same thing to Shluchim Yeshua. When the Shluchim, when Yeshua sent his Meraglim to go into Eretz Yisrael, said, they come to Rachav, and Rachav gives her description of the events of Kriyas Yamsuf and how it took place. And she tells the Meraglim, Kishamanu es asher hovish Hashem es mei Yamsuf. She too talks about, we heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and we heard about what an unbelievable event it was. And you see, it was a very big deal. Yisrael heard that. That's why Yisrael came. Frank the Gemara, Maishna Hasam da'am avalehoye bam oidruach. Maishna Haga da'am avalekama oidruach desh. Why is in Yeshua Perikei, when Yeshua ben Nun himself wrote Sefer Yeshua, and he describes what happened, say he wrote that we heard that people didn't have a ruach. When Rachav gave her account of the reaction of the people to the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, she added a word. She said, "V'loy kama oid ruach." Why did she add the word kama? Says the Gemara, "The filak shuri namaloy akshar." She was referring to was not that they physically couldn't stand, but rather the kama over there is referring to the kishui ever of the ever tashvish. And she said that they couldn't have any kishui ever. If anyone knows, how did she know? Because Rachav was a zayna. That's how she knew. In fact, every sar and every nugget in Canaan had been boil. Rachav Amr Chazal said, she was 10 years old when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. And she was Mazana for 40 years. At the end of the when she turned 50, Neskaira, she was Megayer Amr, she said, Yehei Mochali, she should have Mechila Beschar Chevel Chaloinu Pishnim. Those were the three things that she used to do Averis. She used those same three things now to save the Meraglim. And it's for that reason she felt, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says she davened to Hashem that the Averis that I did with these three things should have mechila with the mitzvah that I just did with the very same three things. Either way, before we go weiter, just two horas. Number one, so we have machlokes in the Gemara, Vayishma Yisrael. What exactly did the Yisrael hear? One man says he heard Mechamas Amalek. Another man says he heard Maimon Har Sinai. Vayishma Yisrael is before Maimon Har Sinai. Third man says what he heard was milchemes. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf. Take a look at Rashi. So what does Rashi in Chumash say? Vayishma Yisrael. First Rashi in Parashas Yisrael. Mashmu shama uba Kriyas Yamsuf umilchemes Amalek. So Rashi makes a little bit of a chalot. Rashi takes two pshat. Rashi takes the third pshat and the first pshat. Kriyas Yamsuf, that was the third pshat the Gemara brought. Umilchemes Amalek. And that's the first pshat the Gemara brought. So, Chasam Sof is bothered a little bit. He asks it on Rashi. It's not going on the Gemara in Zvachim, but on Rashi. Rashi says it was Kriyas Yamsuf u'milchemes Amalek. And he says that if Yisrael was impressed with Kriyas Yamsuf, why did he come right after Kriyas Yamsuf? Why do you have to wait until milchemes Amalek? It was Kriyas Yamsuf u'milchemes Amalek. Right? Kriyas Yamsuf itself wasn't enough. First came Kriyas Yamsuf, then came milchemes Amalek. It sounds like it was Kriyas Yamsuf, but it was also Mechamas Amalek. And as if to say, one without the other somehow wouldn't have gotten Yisrael to come. It was Dafka the fact that he had heard of Kriyas Yamsuf, and then he had heard of Mechamas Amalek. Again, it doesn't stem with our Gemara. But that's what Rashi says. It was those two things. It was because of those two things that Yisrael ultimately ended up coming. As I pray to Chasam Sofer, I didn't show the Chasam Sofer, he says a Mahalach. But I was thinking, maybe you could say as follows. Lule de Mistafina. We know that Chazal describe Amalek as Asher Karcha Baderech. What does it mean, Asher Karcha Baderech? So Rashi says in Parashas Kisetze that Amalek made the waters of Klal Yisrael cold. So when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, doing Nisim and doing the flies, we just learned the Gemara now, Kriyas Yamsuf, Rachav HaZayna, everybody had heard about this. All the Malchei HaMayri, everybody was spooked from the Jews. They had all heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and everybody was afraid. We say it in Oz Yosha, Chiloch HaZayishvei Palashas, Oz Nivalu Alufei Edoim, Eilei Moiv Yechizei Meirah, Namayku Koyeshev Kenan, Tipal Eilei Masav HaFachad, right? And you get the dress, right? It's Yira and Yira and Pachad. That's what was going on after Kriyas Yamsuf. And at that point, the Jews were considered to be 100% untouchable. Nobody was going to start up with the Jews.
Jews until Amalek came. Amalek came, they started up with the Jews. And say Chazal, and Rashi brings in a Chumash, that even though Amalek got burnt, even though Amalek got burnt, but at the same time, they cooled off the waters for everybody else. Meaning, before Amalek chepped with the Yidden were considered to be untouchable. Nobody was going to go near them. People were afraid of them. There was a certain Yira that people had in Klaisar. I mean, the people had Yira of him, nobody was going to start off with them until Amalek came. Amalek showed it's doable. And even though they lost, even though they got burnt, literally, in Rashi's muscle, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they themselves showed that the Jews could be. This, what was once thought to be unfathomable, inconceivable. How are you going to start up with a nation for whom God just split the sea? And God created all these plagues in Egypt to miraculously take this nation out of its right. I hear. But they showed it's doable. Once you see something is doable, it makes it more doable for the next person. So I think it could be Yisroel had the same year for Klal Yisroel. Yisroel heard about Kriyas Yamsov, but just like the nations of the world didn't want to start up with the Jews, Yisroel wasn't going to go there either. And whereas for everybody else it was a Yira in the sense of a Yira Sa'inish, for Yisroel maybe it was a Yira Sa'inish. But the point is, there was a Yira. He was afraid. He got it. He understood what was going on. But at the same time, he was afraid to come too close. You know, it's interesting. The Chasam Sofer says that it could be Yisrael after Kriyas Yamsov, he was Megayer, but he stayed back home. He didn't want to come to the Jews. This Gevaldik, he was afraid. They were untouchable. What happened? Chemes Amalek. Amalek came, he cooled off the waters. He cooled off the waters for the enemies of the Jews. Now they were comfortable chepping with the Yidden, and he cooled off the waters for people like Yisroel. Now they were comfortable coming. They were comfortable shtelling too. Till now there was a Yira. Not a Yira, so not this Yira that's described in Arsh Yashar, the Yira that Rachel Azayna was referring to. A Yira Saramis, but the bottom line, a Yira nonetheless. So you want to know what caused Yisroel to be Megayer? It was Kriyas Yamsov. Kriyas Yamsov was what did it. But for Kriyas Yamsov alone, he wouldn't have cared, because he would have been afraid. It was after Mechemes Amalek. Amalek came and they asher karcha baderech. Now he's comfortable. Now the Jews are, so to speak, touchable. Now he came. Either way, that's the connection. That's Kriyas Yamsov, Mechemes Amalek. That's the first R. Second R is Gemara Mesechtes Erevin Daf Nun Dal Ramad Aleph. The Gemara over there says, it says regarding the Luchais, V'hamichtav michtav elikim charos ala Luchais. Says the Gemara, Atikrei charos elocheros. And the Gemara Darshan's Amalei le'neshtabra Luchais HaRishonos, had the Luchais HaRishonos not been destroyed, Ein kol uma v'lashen sheletes behem. There's no nation in the world that would have started up with the Yidden. Shenemar charos al tikrei charos elocheros. So had the Yidden had the Luchais HaRishonos, the Umas HaLem would not have started up with the Jews. The Jews, we would have been untouchable. We would have never gone to Gauls. There would have been no Churban Bayis. Enough. There wouldn't have been Bavel, not Nebuchadnezzar, not Parasumade, not Daryavish, not Kairish, nobody, not Titus, not Hadrian, not Vespasian. We would have been untouchable. Ein kol uma v'loshay, not the Nazis, the Machshama. Nobody would have started up with us because we don't have the Luchas HaRishonos. Now that there's no Luchas HaRishonos, now all of a sudden we're fair game. And all the tsaris, the millennia of tsaris that the Jews have had to suffer through, it all came about because of the Shefiras HaLuchas. And it's pretty obvious that the Gemara Sasa, what does Shefiras HaLuchas have to do with now all of a sudden the Jews became vulnerable? Had we not lost the Luchais, Ein kol uma v'loshen sheletes. So I was thinking as follows. We just learned the Gemara. The Gemara says that b'shoshen it neteir liYisrael. When the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, the Malchei Uma Yisraelim heard koilos. The koilos that are described in Tehillim Perichav Tes that we say when we put the Sefer Torah away, Shabbos and Davening. It was koil Hashem b'koyach, koil Hashem b'hador, koil Hashem shever arazin. Those koilos were referring to the koilos of Maimon Har Sinai. And what was the Uma Yisraelim's reaction when they heard those koilos? They were very, very afraid. V'chol Malchei oivdei kechavim achzazam ra'oda beheichal. And they thought that maybe there's a Mabul that's coming to the world. And even though Hashem swore there's no Mabul Shomayim, maybe it's a Mabul Tefillin finally calmed them down. Hashem, all it is the Torah. This doesn't affect you. Hashem's just bringing the Torah. But the bottom line is, you have nothing to worry about. The Jews will deal with it, but this is not your problem. But the bottom line is, so that's what's going on. Hashem Moiz Le'am Ayite. But they were afraid. You see the koilos of Maimon Har Sinai, made them very, very afraid. One of the koilos that we say in Tehillim Perichav Tes is Koil Hashem Choytzev Lahavishish. What does it mean? The koil of Hashem was choytzev lahavishish. So, okay, look at Rashi. It's referring again to the koil of Maimon Har Sinai. And Shayadibur, Shalaseres Hadibris, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke the words of Aseres Hadibris, they were yoytzev lahavish esh mipiv. They left his mouth, kaviyochel, belahavish esh, via flam fire, the nechkak ala luchais, and they went on the luchais kitavnis. So you wonder how the luchas were written? The luchas were michtav elikim. Had Hashem write the luchas? This is all kaviyachol. But had it even in the world of kaviyachol, Hashem write the luchas? It wasn't with the yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't with Hashem's yamin. You know, the luchas were written with the peh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem spoke the koilos. Those koilos were chaytsev lahavisesh. They were chaytsev. They engraved the stones. And that's how we got the luchas. The luchas were an embodiment of the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw a mimer once for Reb Shmuel Yankiv, Zichetzalik Lebracha. He said that maybe that's an oimik pnimi in the idea of the cholam raim as HaKadosh. What does it mean they were writing as HaKadosh? Because the michtav alekim that was written on the luchas was the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Rashi in Tehillim. Koil Hashem choytzev lahav esesh. Either way, so I was thinking. Umoli lo nishtabru haluchas. You know what we would have had? We would have had the koil Hashem choytzev lahav esesh. We would have had the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. L'dayre dayres. What's the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Gemara we just learned. The koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chilu ra'oda achazasam. It was a koil that brought fear into the hearts of all the Umayyad Islam. Had we still had the Luchas HaRishonos, we would have the Koilos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'd have the Koil Hashem Choyvitz Lahavisesh. This Gemara, in Masech Tzvach, in Daf Kuf Tezayin of Aleph, this Agadah Gemara that's tucked away in the middle of all the Kachim, we would have with us every single moment of every single day. If that's the case, Ein Kol Uma V'Lashon Shaletas, I think it's half of a fella. Either way, the Gemara Vayter. We now return to our regular program, which is Vachem. Says the Gemara, Amar Man, Ivid Kechavim Bezman Hazeh Rasham, last week's getting a goy, Bezman Hazeh, is allowed to bring a carbon on a bum. Says the Gemara, not immediately. How do you know that? You know, Yid's not allowed to bring a carbon on a bum today. When there was a Shas Heter Bamas, he was allowed to. But now that there's no Shas Heter Bamas, he's not allowed to anymore. Stating that a guy is allowed to. Zok the Gemara, how do you know that? The Tanur Rabbanan, Tabra B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Mitzvah 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 B'nei Yisrael, that it's only Bnei Yisrael that have the mitzvah of Shchut Echotz, but the Umay Sa'olim don't have Shchut Echotz. Says the Gemara, L'fichach, it's for that reason, called Echad ve'echad, boyne loy banma la'atzmai, umakru v'lel, kol ma'ashe yiretz. If a guy wants, he can build a banma, and he can bring a carbon. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Arachah, I'm Rabbi Asi, also l'sayim. It's also for a yid to help a guy bring a carbon. V'las l'shlichusam, and it's also also for us to be a shliach for them. I'm a Rabbi, Rabbi said, uloy rinu l'shar, stating that, if you want to guide them, if you want to sit down and help the guy along, that's okay. I mean, you can't physically help him, but the paskin for him, that's something you're allowed to do. How do we know that? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you a Maiser Shahaya, a Maiser Rav, called the Ifra Urmiz, Imid Shvar Malka. Ifra Urmiz was the mother of Shvar Malka. She had the carbon to the Rava. She sent the carbon to Rava. She wanted advice from Rava how to bring this carbon. Sholchale. So he said, Askua, Nahale, the Shem Shemai, right? She wanted to bring it as a carbon. Amalusi, the Rav Safra, the Rav Barhun. So Rava went. And he told Rav Safra and Rav Acher Bar Huna, Zilu v'dabu trei u'miguloi. Go take two boys, Rashi says, that are the same age. Interesting, Rashi. L'chu k'chu shnei oivdei k'chavim bachurim. Take two goyim, because a yid can't bring this carbon. B'nei gil echad, that they are the same age. Shekein noi v'dabu. Why do they have to be the same age? Take two people that are very similar. It's noi. It's nice for a carbon to be brought by two people that are the same age. Maybe this is a little bit of a beer, an additional beer, and why the Shnei Seirim on Yom Kippur had to be exactly alike. It sounds like there's some hidur in the mitzvah. Shekei Noi L'Dover, says Rashi, for the two Bacharim that are going to bring this carbon to be very much alike. Either way, v'chazu heichad amaski yom asirutim, go to a part of the Yam where you can get fertile land. Rashi says land that no one ever did anything with. V'shiklu tzivichadit, he take new wood. V'afiku nura mimarachadita, and make fire from a new pan. V'asku na'le l'shem shemayim, and go bring the Shem Shemayim. Either way, Rava wasn't going to bring this carbon, but at the same time, Rava helped Imei the Shvar Malka bring the carbon, and he gave her a whole Shulchan Aruch of exactly how this carbon should be brought. So you see that even that number one, a goy bizman hazeh is allowed to bring a carbon on a bump. A yid is allowed to advise, but at the same time, you can't be hands-on. So you could be party on an advisory capacity, but to actually get involved and to bring the carbon and to chop the wood sounds like that's already something that you would not be allowed to do. The Gemara says, Derech Agra, from the way Rava told Imid Shvar Malka to bring this carbon, you see a halach. The way he described it is like Rabbi Lezen Shemua said in a price. What's this price? So the Tanya, Rabbi Lezen Shemua, just like a Mizbeach has to be fresh, it has to be a Mizbeach, right? You can't take a Mizbeach that a Hedyot used already and use it now to bring a carbon. So to the Eitzim that were brought every day,
on the Mizbeach, the Atzim Aracha, had to be Eitzim Shalish Namish Bem Hed. Where do you see that? From Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua said, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua needed the Mizbeach that was going to be used for a bama to be fresh, but also the Eitzim Chadati, he said, take fresh wood. Why fresh wood? Because you can't use recycled wood. Can't use recycled wood as a carbon. But the Gemara says, how could that be pshat? From Maidah Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua by bama, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua himself was Maidah by a bama. Meaning, even Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua said that the Atzim Aracha had to be fresh wood, but he only said it regarding the wood that was going to go on the Mizbeach. But by a bama, he's Maidah. I relate to the price because of Echelim 1 Pasuk says, Ve'itin David la Arnon b'makoyim shikle zahav mishkal sheish mitz. The context over there is when David HaMelech goes to Arnon, and what does he buy from Arnon? The Har HaBayis. Right, David HaMelech buys the Har HaBayis, and the history of it is, why did he buy the Har HaBayis? The initial reason he bought it was because there was a Magefa, David counted the Jews, Rashi beginning of Parshas Kisisa, and David goes and is realizes something has to happen. So Hashem sends the Navi to David and tells David, that bring karbonos, and if you're going to bring karbonos, the magef is going to start. Stop. So David goes, he buys a plot of land, he buys it from Arnon, also known as Aravno, Aroina. So he buys it from Arnon, and how much did he pay for it? He paid sheish meyos shekel kesef. And there's another pasuk that says, vayikin David es hagoyrim ves habasar bekesef shkolim chamish. Okay, it's a stira. One pasuk says he paid 600 shkolim. Another pasuk says he paid 50 shkolim. Says the Gemara, goyvim mikol sheva sheva. What he did was he collected from each shevet 50. What's 50 times 12? 600. Change shmeis together at 600. That's how you reconcile the 50 and the 600. Rabbi says, "Mishum al ben destoy bakar the eitz makom mizbeach benon." No, there were two purchases. First, he bought bakar eitzim and the makom mizbeach benon. V'chalabayis kulay and the rest he paid 600 for. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua Omer bakar the eitzim and makom mizbeach benon. V'chalabayis kulay b'sheish shmeis. And how do we know that? How do we know that he didn't just buy the bayis? He didn't just buy the land, but he bought bakar. Eitzim, because the pasuk says Vayoymer. The pasuk says Vayoymer Aravna el David Yikach v'yal Adoni HaMelech Atoy be'enav Re'ei habakar lo'oylo v'hamoyrigim ukli habakar le'etzim. It says clearly that he didn't just buy the parcel of land. He bought the bakar, the moyrigim, the kli habakar le'etzim. See, he bought more, and that's the beer, all these different tanam. They're reconciling the stira. Was it 50 or was it 600? Different way. But what's the bottom line? What do you see from here? One of the tanam mentioned is Rav Elazar ben Shammua. Rav Elazar ben Shammua clearly said, I mean, it's a pasuk that he bought the bakar, the eitzim, and the makom mizbeach. And when it says he bought the eitzim, what did he buy? He bought the clay habakar, the eitzim. He took a Ravna's clay, he took his tools, and he used that as the Eitzim. I thought Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was the one that said that you have to have Eitzim Chadati, that just like the Mizbeach has to be new, fresh, so too the Eitzim have to be fresh as well. Must be there's a chilik between a Mizbeach and a Bama. So how could Rava have told his Talmidim, who were going to help, they were going to guide Imidish from Malka to bring this carbon, make sure you take Eitzim Chadati, presumably based on Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's halacha, that says that just like the Mizbeach had to be Chadash, so too the Eitzim had to be Chadati as well. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua himself seemed to say that that's only true on the Mizbeach, not on Obama. Because when David HaMelech brought carbonos on Obama, David HaMelech bought the Kli HaBakar from Arnon, and he used that to go use as the Eitzim. I, the Kli HaBakar were recycled. They had been used already. It wasn't new. So you see, there's a chilik between the Mizbeach and the Bama. So that's the Gemara of Rabba. Who said it wasn't new? Maybe he took brand new Kli HaBakar. He didn't use Kli HaBakar that was used. He used Kli HaBakar that was new. My Moirigim. One of the things that he sold him, Aravna did, was the Moirigim. What are these Moirigim? Amar Ula Mita Shal Turbal. Okay. My Mita Shal Turbal. Amar Abaya. Iza the Karkas of the Taichan Dishai. So this is some sort of tool that was used for threshing. It had teeth like the teeth of a goat. Either way, it's like some wooden goat. That's the literal translation. I'm going to buy a micro. How do you know that? It's a puzzle. So you see, we refer to this meirig as charutz. It's able to make holes. It has teeth. Rava was once learning with his son, and he asked the same steer. It says, okay, so was it 50 or was it 600? So he told him, he said the first pshat that the Gemara brought. He took 50 from each shevet, and it was together that it was 600. Oh, but frek the Gemara, v'akati kashina hadadi. There's still a steer, because hasam kesef, hachazav. One pasuk says it was kesef, silver, the other pasuk was zav. It's a big difference between 50 shkalim of kesef, 50 shkalim of zav. Elahachi koma, goyve kesef, he took kesef, but it was b'mishkal sheish meir zav. So it was more expensive. So what it cost was 600 zav, But when he collected it, he didn't make people give Zav, so the currency they were giving was Kesef. But as far as the value of the Kesef, it had to add up to Sheish Meyos Zav.